They told me what you doing. I said, what I'm about to do is turn the fuck up.
Hi, this is Sunny Kim, and you're listening to Dark Match Top Dive.
Hey guys, this is Selena de la Venta from Promociones Dorado and MLW. You're listening to Dark Match Podcast.
You are currently listening to the Dark Match Podcast, but more importantly, you're listening to the voice of the first and only ever two-time Rookie of the Year, Jackson Argo.
What the fuck? Like, what is wrong with you?
So big weekend of wrestling coming up for us.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
As long as the weather holds out. So,
that's a big question mark.
Well, the thing is too, like that really upsets me is they just announced Super Indie for September 12th, and earlier this week I accepted an opportunity to officiate a wedding on September 12th.
Oh, whose wedding? Anyone we know?
No, no one. Oh. No. It was like a referral through my company. They're like, hey, they need an officiant. This is how much they're paying. I'm like, for 15 minutes of work? Hell yeah. And it's literally just me reading something that I can get off of the Universal Life Church website. And that's what I'm going to recite. And then, thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye-bye. For literally 5 minutes of work. So
there you go.
It's upsetting that I have to miss it, but at the same point, like, I can still watch it on the network. And I don't know, like, the time frame in which it takes place, but the biggest issue that I'll have if I am able to go to IWC is the fact that my wife will be out of town that weekend already. So I don't know how well.
No, that ain't happening.
No.
We're not going to be able to.
Well, unless Shannon cancels, which there is a likelihood that could possibly happen. Knock on wood. If she does cancel, I don't know if I'll be able to convince her to let me go out of town like 2 weekends, like in 1 month period. So
yeah, probably not. We should You know, I know it sucks, but
yeah,
we should at least take advantage of what we can right now, not push it.
Knock on wood that it does happen.
But
knock
yeah,
on
not
wood.
Push it.
And we got some sweet shirts to rock, too.
It's
so
about freaking time.
It is. It is, exactly. It's about freaking time. They look absolutely gorgeous, too.
Yeah, they
but
do.
There's plenty that we're going to cover. Obviously, we're going to cover IWC feature presentation. We'll give our own little preview of the event. We're going to discuss Impact Wrestling's previous pay-per-view, Night 2, tonight as we're recording. So we'll cover Night 1, some big news from some former guests that night as well. So we gave them a little bit of a shout-out last week, but we'll touch on everything else that we saw in Night 1.
And you know what else has been nice?
What else? What else?
We actually have some decent wrestling to talk about.
We do. We have a lot
it's
of decent
nice.
Wrestling
it's
to
really
talk about.
It's really nice, man.
Oh, it is. It's nice to somewhat be back to normal. Well, we had SummerSlam. We had TakeOver, which obviously we'll discuss just a little bit of. You missed a hell of a party, by the way. I'm still in pain. I am still hurting from the amount of laughter that took part, and oh my God, do I got some stories for you. But maybe I'll pull a Pollock and we'll talk about that off the air. But before we do that, we're going to get into our interview. This is someone we wanted to have on for a long time. So let's just get right into it right now.
Dress the way you like, I don't look the way you like, but I fight the way I like. I don't walk the way you like, I don't talk the way you like, but I fight the way I like. I don't move the way you like, man, my crew ain't who you like, but we fight the way we like. Eastside Cleveland's what I like, and I'm back just how I like, yeah. And we busted heads tonight. Shane Taylor, it's time for redemption. I'm tired of being underrated, not debating, and I noticed I'm not the one for waiting, switching up the system.
So by popular demand, he's been asked on quite a few times, and I know I've messaged him quite a few times as well, trying to get this set up, and obviously with everything COVID. I feel like that's my excuse with like everybody recently. It's like, hey, COVID happened.
It's a built-in excuse.
It is. It's kind of like, hey,
but
I
no,
know.
We have actually discussed having this person on for since at least the beginning of the year, if not longer.
And these are my favorite types of interviews because he's actually at training right now. So you like hear like all this like yelling in the background, and maybe that's his excuse. Like maybe like He's at training. That's why you hear people yelling and screaming and complaining. But in actuality, like, he's just, like, hurting people. And he's in, like, a mini fight club. And this is just his cover-up for it. Like, we have COVID. He has his fight club. Oh, no, I'm at training. That's someone taking bumps right now. Like, who knows? But on the line with us right now, by popular demand, we have none other than the Rev, Ron Hunt, ladies and gentlemen. First and foremost, how are you doing tonight?
Not bad. How about yourself, guys? Yeah, as you know, we're doing this underground fight club, so I already broke one of the rules here. That's rule number one, you don't talk about it, but we already talked about it, so I guess that's off the table.
Well, see, we talked about it. If you just had to play stupid and say, oh, I don't know what you guys are talking about, nobody would know.
Kayfabe, brother, kayfabe.
We just broke it. He's currently in a lawsuit right now with Raw for Raw Underground. They stole his idea, so we'll touch on the lawsuit here in a few moments. So they're breaking the rules of Fight Club too. Cause
that's true. They're actually
they're televising it.
Shit.
Yeah, that's on them though. Hey, we need to watch our mouths though, because let's come on. Like, we got kids listening. We need to watch our fucking mouths. Okay.
Have people not seen our shirts?
I know, right? Okay, so back to the Fight Club at this point. So we have Ron online with us. A lot of questions coming in. A lot of people have a lot of interesting questions they want to ask you about. Some we will ask. Some we won't. Some who knows? We might surprise some people. So first and foremost, you're down in the Dayton area right now. Are you originally from Dayton?
No. So actually, originally from Pittsburgh. You know, that's where I'm born and raised. So black and gold, black and yellow all the way through.
My apologies.
I'm one of those typical obnoxious Pittsburgh people, but Dayton has somewhat calmed me down a little bit. But I've been up here in Dayton for about a year or so now, a little bit over a year, and I've been loving it, man. There's a reason why Dayton, Ohio, is called the Gym City. And so the Steel City meets the Gym City, and that's where we found the Reverend Hunt right now, Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, well, it's fun to know that you're one of those wonderful Pittsburgh, loudmouth Pittsburgh fans. We love you up here in Cleveland. I guess now we can kind of transition really quick. So, Mason Rudolph, Miles Garrett, where do you stand on that?
Oh, man, you throw the big zingers at me, huh?
I'm going to.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you say that you're a Steelers fan. You don't think that a Browns fan's going to call you on it? Come on.
Oh, man. Listen, I gotta go. Unfortunately, I gotta go with Miles Garrett. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's surprising.
I know. I'll give you that right now. You know, it's some things right now. I think when we look at, you know, where we are, and quite frankly, with everything that's happening with the with the pandemic and everything like that, I know some things are going to get going to kind of get switched up a little bit with all of our sportings, including wrestling. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when I look at the Steelers, I've been telling people this about the Pittsburgh Steelers for quite some time. It seems like we're always a second half team, you know, sometimes when that comes to games, but also when that comes to the overall season. So you get a little bit of a freebie now. But if you ask me that question about the next couple of months, though, I guarantee I'll have a different answer for you.
And so will we. That's the good thing about the Browns. Like, going into the season, we're like, Super Bowl! And it's like, oh, there's always next year.
Oh, you didn't. Listen.
I will tell you guys this. You guys have been waiting for the savior of the NFL to come and grace you guys with some playoff and some Super Bowl hopes. I tell you how funny this was. The last time the Cleveland Browns won the NBA Finals, you know, everybody in Cleveland said, "It's the year of the Browns. It's the year of the Browns."
You mean when the Cavs won the NBA championship?
What did you say?
You said when the Cleveland Browns won the NBA championship.
No. Sorry. When the Cavs won it,
yes.
All the Browns fans were coming out and saying the Browns are up next. I'm like, listen,
no, they weren't.
These are two separate sports.
Well, first off, it would have been the Indians first.
Yeah, I understand where he's coming from. That it's like that the Cavs did it. It's like, oh my God, the Browns are going to do it. It's like, guys, no.
Have you seen our roster? Like, come on.
Yeah, shit. 16. Yeah, it was full blown into the
0-16. Yeah. Yeah, it was fantastic. So much optimism going into that season to go 0-16. Although, granted, we had a parade for the Cavs and then we had one for the Browns.
No, actually, 16 was 1-15. 17 was 0-16.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We did win that game that year.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
The Christmas miracle.
The Christmas miracle.
Then somewhere in between some changing coaches changing coaches quicker than underwear, but, you know,
happens. Oh, trust me, we
don't even know who the coach is this year.
Hey, it's Stefanski. Come on.
Oh, that's right.
All right, how are you feeling about your Steelers this year?
You know what? I would say this. There's been a few times that we had definitely dropped the ball, and it's unfortunate. A couple times we had to wait and see if we get a wild card seed or not. But I'm feeling pretty good with them this year. You know, I think, you know, the Steelers are the type that, you know, they're able to thrive in the midst of people not thinking that they're going to thrive. So I mean, there's been so many times minus, you know, us trying to look at where our current situation is with Big Ben and a few other things, which he's been on the line. With, you know, wondering if he's going to retire, if he's going to come back another season. Me personally, I know he's going to probably at least go about another season or two, because that's just the type of guy that Big Ben is. He might not be as quick, but, you know, he's the type that he wants to, you know, try to propel his team through some of this adversity. So I'm feeling pretty good for him about this year, but, you know, only time will tell at the end of it, because, you know, I know a lot of teams, they're not, you know, they're not coming in full tilt like they were in previous seasons, and this pandemic has a lot to do with it right now.
Well, and you got the Cleveland Browns that have just lost three heavy hitters in
yes.
the span of half of a week. So who knows how we're going to do? And there was so much optimism going into this season. And
dude,
granted,
COVID killed the Browns this year. If they can pull a miracle out of their ass and go 8-8, I will call that a successful year.
It just might work.
It might work though. And especially in a year like this where you had no mini camps, no OTAs, no rookie mini camps.
You have no preseason.
You have no preseason. So like, it's kind of like right now if they have a season, you're almost in a certain way going in cold turkey, which is not good for any athlete, especially with a contact sport.
And that's where we've lost a guy that's supposed to step in to a knee injury. We just lost a guy you drafted in the second round to be your starting safety, ruptured Achilles, done for the year.
Yep,
Greedy Williams, you don't know what his shoulder injury is.
Nope,
like you have no idea. What J.C. Treader all of a sudden had a knee surgery. Like what the hell? Yeah. So now you maybe down your starting center.
So now like, we're just praying now for.
And I haven't heard if your starting running back has even been cleared from his concussion yet.
Yeah, exactly. So, but obviously we can talk football forever, and we're gonna get Dave off on a tangent here.
That's why we have a
spot. Now listen, guys. I don't want to come down to Cleveland and have to clothesline you guys. So I appreciate the football talk.
I will gladly take a clothesline. Just make sure that. Well, we don't have tailgating, so I can't be in the state in which I will be gladly accepting of that. But
Of here first. Pat will take clothesline from Rev Ron Hunt.
Unless I am drunk. Only if I am at a tailgate and I have...
All right, so he will take a clothesline unless he's too drunk where he can't do it because he'll throw up. So he will take it sober. Got it.
I don't throw up when I drink. I don't. I never have. Never will. I don't know.
Uber right after my
birthday. It's okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But I had sugar.
I know that you're a White Claw type of guy.
So. I am not. I've never had a White Claw in my life.
You seem like a White Claw type of guy. I'm pretty sure when we met, you probably had a White Claw in your hand.
All the time. It's right here on his desk right now.
Yeah, a lining Kugel summer shandy is a White Claw.
Pat, quit describing what's in my hand.
When I met him down in Dayton at...
He met you with a White Claw.
No, he didn't. Bullshit. I had a vodka lemonade.
Wow, that sounds even
I'm not
better.
Helping myself right now. I should really just stop. All right, so you start off in Pittsburgh. Where did wrestling kind of come into play? Because you grew up a big Steelers fan. You moved to the Gem City. How? You're still booing over here. Come on. How did wrestling kind of come into the fold?
Yeah. So wrestling kind of came in. I mean, you know, it sounds cliche, but I've legit been watching wrestling since I can remember. And I think, you know, I've always been a fan of it. But I believe it was 1998, WCW Bash at the Beach. I was watching Eddie Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero. And the loser had to cut their hair. And that was one that, you know, Eddie, I think that's when I locked in. I'm like, man, there's something special about this guy, Eddie. Just the way that he can draw people in, the way that he can make you feel a part of what you're watching and kind of suck you into the television. And so that was about 1998 or so. And, you know, fast forward, I went through grade school. I was still playing sports throughout high school, throughout middle and high school. I was playing baseball, basketball, and football. And it wasn't until about 2011 or so, you know, I said, listen, I need to do this. And I was still playing football in college at that time, but I was at that time that as soon as I graduated high school and into college, I actually went away to Florida for a little bit of time. I was staying with some family down there and started training with Off of the Wild Samoan at the Wild Samoan Pro Wrestling Training Center.
Wow.
In 2011. And I think at that point was really the telltale when I, you know, I had an appreciation for it. I fell in love with it even more when I saw Eddie in 98. But it wasn't until 2011 that I really started to value the art form of pro wrestling. I actually started to get behind the scenes and have more respect for it as a performer, as a wrestler. And you know, so since 2011, man, the res been on the scene and trying to tear it up each and every way possible. And so far, you know, I'm very fortunate to you know, have the career that I've been having so far and been able to help grow and help teach even some of the young lions that we have now. And you know, I'm still in love with it as if I was a fan. You know, I'm still a fan of it. But now on this side, I have a more deeper appreciation of the sport.
I gotta ask, where did you play college football?
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. So, oh boy. So it was a small liberal arts school in Greenville, Pennsylvania, called Teal College. So we were kind of up there by like Pymatuni, Lake Erie, and everything. So we were all over the place. We played. We played in Rochester, New York, the Rochester Rams, played Westminster College, Boston, all the other colleges where you get the big corn-fed guys that come in looking like they're a bunch of mountain men just about in their 40s. So,
you've had a couple that have come out of, you know, to the NFL from there, haven't you?
Who, me?
Well, the college you...
Yeah. We had a few. Even from my high school, we had a few that went there. A gentleman named Daryl Dessy played for the New York Giants. We had a few more that came out there and did pretty well as well as some of your competitor colleges. But you know, even from that area, I think, you know, anything just kind of around that Pittsburgh area when it came to sports, from high school all the way up, you know, you were getting some of the best of the best. You have to look at a Garrell Revis, look at a Terrell Pryor. So the list continues to go on from those that have been bred from the Pittsburgh area, and you know, then begin to excel later on in their career. Actually, a guy right now that's playing with the Indianapolis Colts, Malik Hooker. He's born in the same area that I was born in. So he went to Ohio State University. Yes, I am an Ohio State fan.
All right, that's you partially made up for it.
Okay. we'll forgive you for the fact that you're a Steelers fan, just in that regard.
partially.
I didn't say fully. I didn't say fully. I said partially.
All right, now partially. I gotta ask, what are your thoughts about, you know, Big Ten canceling?
Oh God,
dude, come on.
He's gonna talk sports the whole time.
Shut up.
Oh no. So what was your question?
What are your thoughts about Big Ten at least canceling to the spring?
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, clearly anything that cancels is like you know. But at the same time, you have to do what you have to do. So I might not like it. I might not, you know, feel like it's a little controversial. But at the same time, it's like you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah, it's not like they're canceling it altogether. They're just
it's not like they're canceling it altogether. This is like a long postpone. And when I say long, I mean super long. But you know, it's not like they're permanently getting rid of it.
Right, but see, it's going to be weird because you have a couple of guys who may not play because they're going to, you know, they don't want to get hurt.
Well, yeah, going into the combine, you got the draft coming up. You're going to have plenty of players that are going to say, you know what, I'm not taking the risk. You saw me last season, and I think a big component there, Trevor Lawrence. Yes. I think he's going to opt out, and he's not going to play.
ACC is playing in the fall.
I think he's going to opt out, though.
No, I don't think so.
I think
no, he was one of the guys who said, let us play.
Okay.
Nope. Trevor Lawrence, if he backs out, it'll be for whatever bowl game, if there are any.
Okay, I'll give you
all
that.
Right. All right, you can proceed.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. You know, when you look at it clearly at this time, you know, with any sport, age definitely plays a factor. They, you know, currently they're dealing with money on top of that. That's also a consideration. So it's like when you have certain things that are, you know, either, you know, elongating their start for that particular program in that particular season, or you have something that, you know, they're trying to stretch out and see where things go. I know that's been a consideration for a lot of athletes. I think, you know, when you're at that time and you're at the beginning of something, such as when this pandemic hit, you know, a lot of people are still filled with pee and vinegar. You know, they're like, all right, I need this, I need this. But it's sometimes it's, yeah, a lot of athletes, including us in pro wrestling, you know, you're so used to going. You know, your brain has no time to think about, okay, well, what about this? Well, what about this? You're thinking in the now. You're thinking about that sport. You're thinking about, okay, how am I going to get that next check? And then I think, you know, as you have a little bit of a longer time for what we say, I guess, go back to quote-unquote normal life, which for us there's no such thing. But when you kind of have that time to kind of sit and think about things, I think then that's when you have a lot of athletes saying, you know what, I'm not going to risk this. No, I'll wait until this happens. You know, I don't feel, you know, I don't think this is the right call right now. And I think that's where we're going to have a lot of people at, you know, even, you know, when it comes to them returning back to the spring.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about, like, wrestling. Like, we had Zoe Sky on last week, and she's so used to a schedule. And, like, some of these kids, like, granted, they're coming from situations where they don't have access to workout equipment. They don't have access to really go out and really work out or anything like that. They're not in the best of situations overall. And I know that was one of the biggest components when they were trying to fight for to have football in the fall. Just to say, hey, these kids need to get out of their certain situations. Some of them aren't in the best situations. They're not going to make the best decisions just because of their surroundings. And football is really the only release that they really have. And very similar to wrestling, like some of these people are go, go, go. Like they're on the road nonstop. And then you're told, hey, stop. Okay, well, I don't know how to. For the last 10 years, I've been living out of my suitcase and every weekend is spent Thursday to Monday where I'm traveling and I'm wrestling every single night, and now I have to stop. And then you correlate it to these kids that their entire life has been football, and now it's, hey, we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to return, so keep doing what you're doing. It's like, well, how do I keep doing what I'm doing? Because I can't walk out of my room, walk downstairs, and there's access to a full gym, doctors, medical staff, and people telling me what I need to do and structure. And I think that was one of the biggest things that they were fighting for continuously. Like, we need this structure. These kids don't have access to that, and trying to find it can't necessarily be the best thing for them. So, I think
one of those things is, you know, and that's been our struggle here in pro wrestling too, because, you know, with me, I was joking about this. I said the last time, just even think about this, it kind of sounds ridiculous now, but because of this pandemic, now that I think about it, the last time I even had, one time I think I took like a week off, but the last time I had more than a week, just 7 days of no wrestling before this pandemic was maybe six and a half years ago. I didn't think about that until then, but, you know, at the same time, just like you said, you know, we don't really have a pre-structure to go to, that can kind of work against you. I know with me, you know, it's like, you know, if I didn't have something to do, you have to keep your body active, or else, you know, these bumps, you know, these bangs, you know, these scratches and bruises will catch up to you very, very quickly. And I woke up sometimes feeling like I was in like a 1,000-man battle royal, and I'm like, what the heck?
Your body gets just callous to it, and then it doesn't have it, and then your body has to recallous.
Like Hogan, I'm walking around like Hogan and Flair. Like, listen, all I did was go to the grocery store.
I didn't even take a bump. Like, geez, all I did was get out of the car. So your body definitely does, like, get callous to it, and being in a position where every single day, you say 6 years, and, like, I had to do the same thing. My second job completely shut down. Like, it finally, like, picked back up, but I rarely never have a weekend off. It's very rare if I have a Saturday off, and now, I mean, like, usually it's March until September or October. I'm booked every single weekend, and then with COVID, it's like, well, what am I supposed to do with my weekends? Like, I literally have no idea what I'm supposed to do or what I can do to occupy my time, and just, like, being home. It is nice, but, like, I think my wife's getting stir-crazy. Like, I'm finally back to the regular routine. It's not as often as it previously was. Like, geez, I'm off this weekend, and I'm going to a wrestling show.
Yeah, in a way, it almost forced everyone to reset.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, it made me appreciate, like, what I'm doing. Like, it didn't make me appreciate my client last weekend.
Yeah. No, but even just to, like, appreciate things that we didn't really realize we took for granted.
Oh, yeah.
Even just, like, being able to go out to a restaurant or the bar or just being around other people.
Yeah. Like, being able to, like, be within 6 feet of someone. Like, granted, like, I am the social distance champ. Like, I have been doing that a majority of my entire life, like, avoiding people at all costs. But that's just me. But, like, not being able to, like, go to a ball game or... And I definitely sound petty, like, saying this, but I feel like a large majority of people would feel the same way. Like, the little things that we did so often that we never really appreciated, like, that we don't have access to now, whether it be going to a ball game or going to an amusement park or even going to a wrestling show. Like, that's very near and far between. Now, I mean, where we're at in Ohio, we can't even go to a wrestling show. We have to travel out of state to even go watch wrestling live right now. And we're going to Pittsburgh this weekend. Last weekend, we could have went to Indianapolis and saw AIW. And there's multitudes of different shows that we can go to. We can go to New Jersey. We can go to New York. Like, all these other places. But Ohio.
Yep.
Ohio. But, Jesus. Articles of impeachment for our governor with everything that he's been doing.
We're not getting into that.
No, we're not going to get into that. But it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, but there's no combat sports at all in Ohio. So all these individuals are, they have to go elsewhere to get that fix. But it's definitely a routine, and people are out of their routine, and there's people that are taking advantage of it and still working out, bettering themselves. But then there's some people that are like, well, 6 years I haven't had a weekend off, so you know what, I'm not going to go to the gym today. Yeah. Turns into 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks turns into 2 months, and then, hey, wrestling's back. Oh shit, I haven't worked out in 3 months.
Yeah.
So, but
I tell you, would you say next? Like you said, I'm outside of training right now. We just had this conversation about 15 minutes before I jumped on this this interview. That a lot of the simplicities of them just getting back into the fundamentals and moving around in the ring, and a lot of them are blown up. You know, I'm talking about, we probably had about 5 guys throw up on something that they used to be able to run through with no problem. So that's a real issue right now.
Oh my God, I like, I can't even, like, if I throw up, like, I'm not still going. Like, I'm not. I'm just like, this is my body saying I'm done. Like,
well, you've never puked and rallied?
No, I haven't.
You know what? Because his stomach is coated in White Claw.
Oh my God. So okay, I threw up one time.
I like
one
this guy.
Time from drinking, and it was on your birthday
this year.
This was the first time I've ever thrown up from drinking. Bullshit. It really is.
And what were you drinking?
What was I drinking? It was not White Claw. Don't get yourself excited.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell him the drink that put me over the line.
I apologize.
No, I was drinking
White Claw. It was a Truly.
It wasn't a Truly. It wasn't a what's this one over here? The Vizzy. I think it's called whatever they brought on Sunday for our party. I don't know.
Whatever, quote unquote, they brought.
Okay. I offered you one of my beers. Like, are you kidding me? I think that night I was drinking, vodka waters.
Yeah, you are. Yes, you had to water down alcohol.
Yes, I did. I had to water it down. I think I was drinking that, and then that was when I was on my fast. So I was on an all-egg diet. I hadn't had a carb in I don't know how long.
I had almost a 2-pound porterhouse that night. Oh, my God.
Yeah, fuck you. I hate you. I can eat it now because I've given up on my diet, but that night I hadn't had a carb.
One of the best steaks I've ever had.
Shut the hell up.
Melted in your mouth.
Oh, my God. Shut up. So anyway, so I was on an egg white diet. That's all I was having. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, eggs. That's it. And I was drinking 2 gallons of water a day, and that was all I was consuming. And then I went out drinking.
I like, now, for six weeks, how you have to explain yourself.
I need to explain this because I never throw up from drinking. That was the only time I've ever thrown up from drinking. And probably listeners of the show will be like, oh, well, what about that one time? No, it didn't happen because I've never thrown up from drinking. But that night, we meet him at a bar in our hometown up here. It's a suburb of Cleveland. And he buys me a drink. And the drink, literally, I don't know what the contents of the actual alcohol portion were, but one of the things that was in there was a red, white, and blue, like, popsicle.
Bomb pop.
A bomb pop. And I hadn't had sugar, and I can't tell you how long, and no artificial sweeteners, nothing. The second I had that, I look at my wife, I'm like, we have to go. And she'd never seen me that drunk. We're in an Uber. We almost get back. Like, I was so drunk, I literally put in the previous bar that we were at to drop us off. I'm like, well, we got to get the car. You got to drive home. She's like, sweetheart, we Ubered to the bar. I'm like, oh, okay. Let's go home. Yeah, so she dropped me off at home. So I've had nights where I've gotten, like, stupid drunk. I've never thrown up, ever. That was the only night I've ever thrown up, and I blame it on the bomb pop. I do not drink White Claw. I've never had a White Claw. I know that's going to offend some people that do drink White Claws. I have never had a White Claw, ever.
Yet.
I'm going to drink one this weekend, and I'm just going to cheers the Rev Ron Hunt, and I'm going to put it in the air, and I'm going to drink it stone cold style.
You know what? In case the fans don't remember this, I need you to take a video of this.
I will be there to take the video of it and make fun of him every second of the way.
I will. I'll take the video. I'll selfie that. He'll take, like, from his perspective, I'll take it from my perspective, and I'll do the long arm into the mouth stone cold style. I'll chug it. I don't care. I'm getting... What flavor should I get?
Grow some balls and don't drink it, you dumbass.
No, I have to now. I'm being challenged.
Hey,
it's a challenge now. I have to.
You know what? If it makes it any better, I double dog dare you.
Ooh, I never back down from those. So let's do it. So I'm drinking a White Claw this weekend. You're driving home, though.
The fact you even said you wanted to drive in the first place was a goddamn miracle.
I didn't plan on drinking, no. But now I'm being one White Claw, I'll be fine. I'll have it earlier in the day, and I'll be fine by the time I drive home. It's fine. I will only drink one White Claw, and I'll drink water the rest of the time. Are you calling bullshit right now? Is that why you were coming back to the microphone so quickly? Wow. Ye have no faith.
Ye has zero faith.
All right. Well, let's get it along. There's going to be a fun video coming this weekend, so everyone be on the lookout for that. So you start in 2011. You're down in Florida. What kind of brought you up back to the Dayton area and overall the wrestling scene in Ohio?
Yeah. So it was one of those things that, you know, I made a deal with my parents at that time. They said, listen, you know, we understand how much wrestling means to you. You know, so they said, we'll make you a deal. We'll help with a little bit of that wrestling tuition, as long as you promise to at least get your college degree. We don't care if it's an associate or a 4-year degree. Just make sure you get some type of college degree. And I was like, hey, done deal. You know, that's an easy deal, because I was actually going in for media communications, you know, which is a small portion of my shoot job. And I said, all right, yeah, that's a no brainer. So pretty much after I did my time there, I came back because, you know, I went to college, and I was still, you know, playing football and everything, and had some pretty good looks and some money coming in with college football. But at the same time, I was balancing football and wrestling at the time. I was just getting started with wrestling, but I was also balancing football, which now that I look back at it, I don't know how I made it. I don't know how I survived balancing both of those, and my body never had a break. So it was like, you know, a lot of times, you know, we would have our games on Saturdays, on like Saturday nights or so. So it was like we would have a walkthrough on Friday. I would find a nearby booking or a show to go to with a couple of guys on Friday night. Then I would wake up early in the morning, get ready for the football game on Saturday, do a booking on Sunday, and then I'm back in classes Monday through Friday with practices. And that was me for about the first 4 years of my pro wrestling career, all the way up until about 2015 or so. And I still don't know how I did it, man. I think then it was the drive and the passion that kept me going, because, you know, my parents were the type, they said, you know, if you decide to do something, go all the way or don't do it at all. And that was always my mindset and how I've been brought up. If you're going to do something, do it all the way, like it's a full-time job, or don't do it at all. Don't waste your time. Leave that opportunity for somebody else. And I think even now, looking at it close to a decade later, you know, I think that's the mindset and the drive that still keeps the hunger within me, even now, and me being in a place I'm never complacent on what I'm doing in this business.
Just hearing your overall schedule, like football, then wrestling, and then, like, how did your body ever, like, I don't get it. Like, how does your body ever rest? And now it makes sense. Like, you take this long break and your body gets callous to it. Like, Jesus, like, you never gave your body, like, an opportunity to rest at all. So, I mean, like, you're dang near, like, invisible of, like, pain because your body's just callous from top to bottom.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's a running joke between all my friends and I. They say, you know, Rev, what don't you do? And I was like, sleep. You know,
yeah.
One of the things that kind of got me in that position to where I never lost focus or per se, you know, I never really gave my body that amount of rest is because I always believe, you know, the time that you're resting, your opponent is doing that much more. That came from the collegiate side of sport. That came from the professional of wrestling. And, you know, a well-known worldwide motivational speaker, Eric Thomas, E.T.
Oh, I love Eric Thomas.
Oh, man, I listen, man. If no one else hypes you up, it's definitely Eric Thomas.
Oh, absolutely.
One of his speeches, he said, you know, the biggest lie you can tell yourself is that you don't have enough time in the day. And he was like, the same 24 hours and 7 days a week you have is the same 24 hours, 7 days a week that Bill Gates is working with, that Mark Zuckerberg is working with, Jay-Z and Beyonce. You can continue to name all the successful people, Oprah, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that was a wake-up call for me saying, you know, if they're successful and they're working off the same amount of time, the same amount of days that I am, then what's my excuse? Besides me just being lazy or feeling sorry for myself. And so just like you said, you know, throughout that time in college, I never had that break really. And, you know, even once I graduated, I was so used to not having that break. You know, I took it upon myself that once I had even more openness, I just packed it. I just said, heck with it. I'm going all the way with pro wrestling. And anytime that I feel like there was a gap that I couldn't have had in college, I just replaced it with pro wrestling even more. Once I graduated, and then those times when I had days off, I just kept my body active because I was always trying to outwork the other man, outwork the other person. Who's going to collect that big paycheck first? Is it going to be me or is it going to be somebody else? And then I'm complaining because I was too lazy to do what they did to get there. And that's been my mindset since 2011.
Like my old coach, like back when I played baseball, like he showed us this one commercial and it's still to this day, like it still resonates. Like, I don't know if you recall back after the Cowboys. Now, it, granted, they did beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cheers to them. But when the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl, they Emmitt Smith came out with a commercial. And I don't know if you've ever seen it. He said, "We just won the Super Bowl. Time to rest." And he's bench pressing at the time. And he just looks at the camera. He said, "We're Super Bowl champions. Time to rest." And then literally a second goes by, he goes, "All right, back to work." And then he just starts pumping again. Like our coach just kept on looking at us. He's like, "Look, like when everyone else is resting, the winners are the ones that are going after it. They won,
absolutely,
but they want the next one." So
exactly.
That's always a good mentality to have. Like you can't take off days. You can't stop. Everyone has the same amount of time, but the people that want it more are going to work harder for it, and that's why those people are successful. So, and obviously that hard work's paid off, and now you're a member of Shane Taylor Promotions. Kind of tell us how that kind of transpired.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, first of all, Shane has been a big brother of mine for a few years now. A lot of guys that have been anchors with Ring of Honor, I consider brothers of mine. Caprice Coleman is another one. Prince Nana, one of Ring of Honor's OGs in the business, a great mind within pro wrestling. You know, and so many others. And you know, I think that was a mindset kind of, you know, segueing into that was, you know, when Shane got started in about 2016 or so, he was in that mindset of the same thing, you know. Shane being from Cleveland, you know, he's a Cleveland boy.
Well, and, he's east side. You know, he's east side. We're west side.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know, well, east side of Cleveland got better, a little bit better street cred, you know.
No, they have street cred. We have none.
Yeah. Well, you know what? As long as you're drinking some White Claws, I'm telling you, you'll get there. Maybe throw in a couple Bud Lights here and there.
And I'm pretty sure you guys will get some street cred. It'll be a little bit below Eastside Cleveland.
Well, I would tell you the kind of Bud Light I was drinking this weekend, but it's not going to help my street cred, nor is it going to help this argument whatsoever. I was drinking Bud Light Orange, so yeah, not helping. No. Not helping. This argument's really gone south on me. I'm not liking this return from quarantine where everyone's against me as opposed to Dave. Yeah. Your time has finally come.
The new times.
The COVID days. What's that?
No, I said Dave's loving it. He's eating it up.
Oh, yeah. He's just kicking back.
I love COVID times.
Yeah. Everyone's giving me shit. Like, everyone's coming down on me.
COVID times is David times.
Yeah, exactly. So I but
that sounds like the next beer commercial.
Yeah. It's David time. That's what it is. It's not Bud time. It's Dave time. It's not Miller time. It's Dave time. It's Rich time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, and that's the thing. Like, whenever you tell someone they're from Cleveland and they're from the same area, the question that immediately follows is East Side or West Side? You say West Side, and they look at you like, It's like, yeah.
Yeah, well, I tell you this. Cleveland, I don't know if you remember this. You remember the book, The Outsiders?
And absolutely.
The Priest versus the Socius. I think when people think about Cleveland, people that are from Cleveland, they naturally split it like that. You're either a greaser or you're a soch. You know, you're either with Pony Boy and all of them, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're on the other side of the line. And I never knew that until I came to Ohio. And I was talking to Shane one time. He said, nah, man, I'm East Cleveland boy. And, like, you know how Shane talks. And
oh, yeah.
So you know, but yeah, getting back to it, you know, it was one of those mindsets that, you know, I knew that Shane's mindset was the same as mine. You know, he would not take no for an answer. He said, I know that I'm the best. It's just now up to the office to see that I'm one of the best and for the fans to finally realize I'm one of the best. And, you know, clearly you look through Shane's track record, you know, when him and Keith Lee were tearing it up as a tag team in ROH, even to when, you know, Shane started going, you know, to the single side of things. When Shane captured a world television title and so much more, his mindset has always been the same. I know what I already am. It's up to these people to finally realize the realism of what I'm saying. And what I've been saying this whole time has been straight gospel. And, you know, once we had that mindset, you know, we put our collective minds together early last year. I tell you, before Shane Taylor Promotions even made it to TV, we were already operating. You know, we were the type that, you know, We go by the slogan, real killers move in silence. And, you know, it was that thing that Shane Taylor Promotions was becoming a well-oiled machine and was going pretty smoothly even before, you know, we were introduced to the TV cameras. So by the time we were introduced to the TV cameras, we were already strong and ready to go. And, you know, that all goes back to, you know, number one, Shane spearheading that, but then also us being in the mindset of, you know, we want this opportunity to be for those that are in the mindset of, I'm making the best out of my time. I'm going to prove while I'm one of the best, and I'm going to take these opportunities instead of me waiting for them to come. And if you look back at what we've been doing so far, you know, with Shane and myself on board, we have two other gentlemen, the Soldiers of Savagery, Khan and Moses. Their mindset is the same. Tremendous athletes. They're actually students of MCW school down there in Baltimore. And, you know, that's what our mindset. We have some more people that we're eyeballing, but everyone is under that same mindset. And, you know, I feel like this goes for life in general. So you have to surround yourself with people that think like you. You know, if you always surround yourself with woe is me people, guess what? You're going to always be talking about how miserable life is and how much life sucks. But if you surround yourself with people that are trying to win and whatever they're looking to do, that mindset begins to breed into you. And so that's our whole mindset right now. You know, the people that we want in our circle, we want them to have the mindset that I'm going to win. We want them to have the mindset I'm going to succeed. Whatever their goal is, they're going to succeed in it. And so that's where we are right now with Shane Taylor Promotions.
Well, it's the mentality that if you want to be rich, you surround yourself with rich people.
You are
your surroundings. So
exactly.
And it's an age old like wise tale, but it really does ring true. I don't even think that it's a wise tale, but everyone will tell you that it's a wise tale. That whatever, like, that personalities and attitude are contagious. You're yes. going to mirror your surroundings. You're going to become your surroundings. If you want to be rich and you're surrounding yourself with someone that has a negative sign in front of their bank account, you're not going to get rich. because you're either going to be helping them out or you're going to be making the same decisions that they are. You need to be making wise decisions. And if you want to get fit, you're not going to spend your days with somebody that's not bettering themselves or going to the gym. You're going to find every excuse and follow in their footsteps of, well, you know what? Maybe not today. Like, I'll go tomorrow. Yeah. It's always that. But now, you've had some time off, obviously, with Ohio being under strict guidelines of no combat sports for X amount of time. But you find yourself busy. You're still getting bookings. But in this time frame, what have you found yourself doing to occupy your time? Or you kind of jumping down some rabbit holes on Netflix? Or are you trying to just continuously wrestling?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. Actually, I do like music production and everything, and like voiceover work on the side and everything. So I think I've just been kind of having some of that time allow me to just have some free time to go back to stuff that I just enjoy. You know, actually be able to do stuff that maybe, you know, the primary focus isn't, you know, how I can collect the next check, but just stuff that is for, you know, leisure. You know, to kind of clear your mind, especially with some of the craziness we're going with all the worldwide issues. There's a lot of issues happening worldwide. So just to be able to just give yourself a little bit of leisure time, to just don't think about anything. Just enjoy life. Do stuff that you enjoy. You don't have to worry about why you're doing it. Just do it just to do it. And so that's been my main thing. On top of, you know, starting to binge watch some shows and everything, because acting and stuff like that is down a little bit as well. So, you know, that's been something I was starting to pick up a lot more than the pandemic hit, and then to kind of close down some of my acting gigs too. So I think at this time the main thing is just making sure, you know, you're mentally well, you know, making sure that, you know, you're at some type of peace of mind to the best of your ability, so that when things do go back full throttle, you know, you're already prepared, you're already refreshed, and you can hit it better than ever.
Now, you said that you have been binge watching some shows. I do have to ask, what are some of your go-tos?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, let's see here. Let me see. What are some of my go-tos? So believe it or not, I had an awkward obsession with 13 Reasons Why.
I did too.
I don't know what it was. I was, you know, every episode I'm like, man, oh man, that's messed up. And then you know how Netflix does. As soon as it gets to the end, you're like, all right, let me turn it off to go to bed. And then it shows a preview real quick and says it's going to restart the next episode in 5 seconds. And I'm like, all right, I'll sit through another one. And then the next thing I know, you know, I'm going through like seasons upon seasons.
Yeah, and then you just think to yourself the whole time, like, was high school this difficult? Like, was it this hard? Like, yeah, I don't remember this.
I was a little bit of a class clown in the high school, and you know, our teachers always had that cliche statement, just wait until you get into the real world because no one's going to care. And you know, but now watching this 13 Reasons Why, I'm like, was I already in the real world then? I'm like, you know, you start second guessing a little bit.
Yeah. Like my teachers used to tell me that all the time, like, wait until you get into the real world. Like, no one's going to care for you. It's like, okay, I'll make them care for me. And then, oh, you're never going to do this. It's like, okay. Like, my math teacher all the time told me, like, oh, you're going to need to know this. It's like, okay, I still haven't used it, but okay. And I work in finance, so a big okay to you.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure you don't pull the Pythagorean theorem out your back pocket, you know, every 2 seconds, or like, hey, let me see what I can do with this acute triangle, you know?
Yeah. It's like, hey, can you find X? No, but I can save you X amount of dollars each and every month. Where do you want to sign?
Yep.
The X is right next to your signature on the application, right down here.
Yep. Oh, because you switched to Geico?
No, I didn't switch to Geico.
Hey, I was waiting for a Geico reference.
No, I don't work for Geico. You know where I work. Stop it.
I know. We greatly appreciate your help. Thank you.
You are very welcome. You are very welcome. So I was down that rabbit hole, too, of like 13 Reasons Why. And I also got obsessed during quarantine. I fell down that rabbit hole of Schitt's Creek. I don't know if you ever watched that or not.
I watched a few of them. I haven't fully gotten to it yet, but I have watched a few episodes.
Yeah, I got like fully obsessed with it, and then thanks to my co-host, I am now absolutely obsessed with Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yes.
Really?
I am. I'm obsessed with that show.
Yes.
Funniest show I've seen in a very long time. Like, wife and I will sit downstairs, and just like you even mentioned too, what we'll see, like, it will be like the end credits, and then your episode starting in 13 seconds. It's like, yep. And then something just absolutely funny happens. We're laughing hysterically, yeah. And then the next episode just starts. It's like, well, shit, it's already started.
How deep have you gone?
Exactly. You're like, why not? I'll watch one more. And then one more becomes one more.
That's true.
The last episode we saw was, I'm on season two. They just got out of quarantine with the anthrax scare. When they're on lockdown on Thanksgiving.
Oh, the Thanksgiving one. Okay.
Yeah, the Turkey Day. Yes. Oh. Yes, Charles. Oh,
with Tiny Terry.
Yeah, with Tiny Terry.
Tiny Terry loves his pickles.
We could just quote Brooklyn Nine-Nine this whole time. So what other shows have you fallen down?
Yeah, let me see. I mean, clearly, outside of wrestling, because that's been my life pretty much. I'm just like, hey, as long as I get caught up on my wrestling, then that's like the man version of soap operas for us. You know, I got to make sure I'm on the up and up and seeing who the next line is coming up. But so 13 Reasons Why is one of them. And okay, so you know, here's your time to make fun of me. No white collar jokes on this. But in my younger years, I was a fan of High School Musical. All right, so now there's a Netflix one called High School Musical, the series. And somehow it's kind of trapped me in a little bit there too. So that's a guilty confession of mine.
I'm not going to judge you.
My
at all.
Brain hurts trying to comprehend that.
Just the title,
High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Yes,
I think I just had a stroke.
Yes.
Okay. So let me sell you on this. You're going to be like, this is genius. So you know, High School Musical. I think they had trilogies. They had about three, maybe four of them. High School Musical. Like early mid 2000s or so, you know, they came out with the movies. So now Netflix has a comedy docuseries of it's showing high schoolers that are auditioning to do High School Musical as a musical at their school, but it's a series on Netflix. So that's why you get High School Musical, the series.
Still, I think they could have really worked on the title a little bit better. But I'm not going to judge you because, like, I have four small kids, and they're all obsessed with, like, these Disney musicals and things like that. They just fell down. My one daughter is obsessed with Descendants.
And I've
seen every single Descendants movie, and now my son is obsessed with Zombies. There's a series that came out. It's Zombies 1 and 2. And I actually enjoy them. Like, we didn't have that when we were kids. It's like, okay, well, this isn't stupid humor like the cartoons and the TV shows that you put on. Because, trust me, they put on some pretty stupid ones where I'm like, why is this even funny?
Why is this even a show?
If it wasn't for the laugh track, no one would laugh. Like, this isn't funny. And she's like, oh, that's a funny joke. I'm like, I don't even get it. And I'm an adult.
Okay. So why you say that? I'm gonna stay on topic and get on to off topic real quick because this is another thing that's been burning me, and it's still watching TV.
Sure.
Late at night, you know, you can't sleep. You're talking about your laugh tracks or maybe a live audience somewhere. The most cringeworthy thing, I have never wanted to destroy my TV with a steel chair or a sledgehammer than it is to try to watch late night comedy like Steve Colbert or anything like that, and they're doing it from home. And there's no audience, and there's no laugh track. They'll tell a joke, do this awkward pause, and then stare at you through the TV like they're a serial killer, waiting for you to, I guess, laugh on your couch. So then there's this awkward time of, there's about 5 seconds of awkward silence of me staring at the TV, and then maybe Steve Colbert, another comedian, staring back at me, waiting for one of us to laugh, and none of us laugh.
Oh,
the most awkward time I've ever had on my couch.
I am all for it because I actually enjoy it. Then when all of a sudden you hear his wife start laughing from the side, I find it enjoyable. I know there are. I agree. Well, I'll watch more like his monologue and different things on like YouTube. But even then, it's like there are some things where I think you almost need to give it those couple seconds to be like, oh shit, that is funny, or I seriously
like,
just sit
make
there.
You- put the correlation together like yeah. Oh that's why it's funny
or yeah I just wait yeah. It's like you could tell us a couple of times where it's like he expects like somebody on his crew to, or his wife to laugh and then nobody does so then he'll look it's like Well, I guess that wasn't as good as I thought. And then he just keeps going. Like, I've thought some of it has been good. I haven't gotten into, like, Fallon as much, like, since, like, his first couple of weeks from home. But especially, yeah, Stephen Colbert, I've been able to, watch his stuff as he's been home.
I'm not a big, like, late-night talk show type of person. Like, I'll watch it if, like, a certain guest is on or, like, a musical act or something like that. But I've never really been big on, like, the talk shows. Now, when Jimmy Fallon first came out, I was all for it, but I think that was like the last time I really watched it. Like, show wise, like late at night, my go to is always Friends on Nick at Night because I can easily just fall asleep to it. But nothing's worse than like the commercials come on and they're like 10 decibels higher. I understand why they do it, but for crying out loud, I'm trying to sleep. Like, I don't need a damn Geico commercial right now or a White Claw commercial. Like, you can move on from it.
What do you mean? You don't enjoy, like, the 12:30 Adam and Eve commercials?
My God. No, I really don't. I can do without them. So, kind of taking a step away, so you're a big 13 Reasons Why fan. Another big show, another binge-worthy show that my son just found on YouTube. He started watching reviews and stuff like that, and I'm waiting for him to start having the nightmares, to be honest. He found a video review of Stranger Things. So,
that's been a hot show for quite some time now.
Oh God, I love that show. And then he's only four, so he sees like some of the like Demogorgons on it. I think that's what they're called. Yeah, you see those on the show. Like he's going to be done. He's going to be checking underneath his bed. He's going to be checking all kinds of stuff. So I don't know how I feel about that just yet, but kind of transitioning away from the show talk, and you've kind of mentioned a couple names so far, but here's an opportunity for you to kind of put some individuals over. Obviously, you've been on other shows. You've been on Our Friends with Marks with Mikes previously, but here's an opportunity for you to kind of name drop. Obviously, there's some individuals that you've seen. You've been on the scene since 2011. What are some names of some individuals that you feel need a little bit more notoriety? Some individuals that you've worked with that you think need a little bit more press than what you're currently getting. Who are some names that we should be on the lookout for?
Oh, yeah. You know, I would absolutely say, first of all, starting in my hometown, anyone that is from the Pittsburgh indie wrestling scene, if you ask them who's one of the hottest talents, they would definitely say the apex of combat, Lee Moriarty.
Absolutely.
Lee Moriarty, and you guys think, because I know he's been doing more with AIW and he's been traveling all over the place. He is the type of guy that, and I remember when he first got started, I believe I was one of his first matches when we were at NWA East down in Pittsburgh. And you know, I was also, when I came back, I was also at the same training facility that he started at. And just from seeing his growth in about 6 months, you knew the dude was a star. I mean, you knew that 1,000,000%. He's put on matches that has blown the roof off numerous companies, including AIW, which I believe he had a couple matches with. It was Alex Shelley. Yeah, he had a couple matches with Alex Shelley, I believe, from Motor City Machine Guns. And he's just a talented guy. You know, he's a flexible. He can adapt to anything. Big man, little man, lucha, strong female talent, whatever it is, he can adapt to it. So Pittsburgh, yeah. I'll definitely say Lee Moriarty is at the top of his game. I know recently he just had a little bit of a cameo backstage at Impact Wrestling. To be honest, I feel like Lee would have been signed somewhere maybe 2-3 years ago. And to be honest, I was putting him over to ROH. but I knew that Lee was the type of guy that he was going to get signed somewhere. And I think the thing that really puts him over to me is I feel like he knows he's good, but he never hypes his own self up. He's very humble. He's very respectable. And he comes in, takes care of business, shakes hands, tell you thank you, and he goes about his day.
Well, I'm going to cut you off. If he's going to make it, he needs to learn how to pose in pictures.
Oh, my! Listen.
I know people. So many people were giving him shit about it, too.
Listen, I know I'm the Red Ron Hunt, but that's a miracle I don't think I can even fathom. that has been something that we've been talking to Lee about for quite some time. But fortunately, we don't
talk about it too much with him because he'll snap our arm. But, you know, we've been talking about that for quite some time. Lee is great at everything except posing for pictures.
Like, he's like the equivalent of, like, my four-year-old when I look at him and say smile for the camera, and he goes, cheese, and he, like, closes his eyes and just, like, shows all of his teeth. Like,
Lee,
that's...
Lee is the type of guy that, if, you know, you, just like your kid or you got a family member, that you take a group family picture and everything looks amazing, except you zoom in like a Where's Waldo book and you find that one dude. Lee is that one dude that will mess up the whole picture.
It's like he doesn't know what to do with his hands.
That's me. Like, I cannot take a normal picture.
I can't either. I can't. Like, I took a decent one for, like, my daughter's first communion, like, decent, but there's always going to be a critique. Like, oh, my God, I can't see your eyes, or, like, where the hell were you looking? Like, what are you doing with your hand? Like, why was your hand in your pocket? Like, you couldn't fix your pant leg out of your shoe, like, before the picture. Something. It's always some critique, but a huge shout-out. We're huge fans of Lee Moriarty, and also...
Hell, it was on the show about a year ago?
That was like 2 years ago almost. Yeah, it's been a while. So yeah, he was on right after his return to IWC. We had him on, which was during... it was right after Reloaded. So that was 2 years ago.
I thought it was about... Okay.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago we had Lee on. And then, yeah, he was in that picture. Also, huge shout-out to Trey Lamar as well. Former guest of our show. Actually, our first guest ever. So first guest ever, also in the cameo in the back of Impact Wrestling. But who else you got?
So I would say, you know, up here and you know, up here in the hot. Now I know there's a few more people. When you look at a tag team, I would definitely say Gannon Jones Jr. and Duke Davis, also from the same school.
Main event.
Yes, sir. The main event. You know, and you know, I think that speaks to. Just some of the training that's been happening within Pittsburgh. Shout out to First Class Brandon Kay and Rye Stronghold Academy. You know, guys like Quinn Magnum, Dean Radford, that have been very instrumental in grooming these men for this business. With that is a tremendous tag team that, once again, I feel like is definitely underrated. Even though a lot of people love them, they are still highly underrated as a tag team, in my opinion. Both guys, I think, about 6'5", 6'6", or so, and are complete workhorses that will dominate any tag team wrestling scene. For here up in Ohio, I would definitely have to say Crash Jackson. Crash has been one. People call him Baby Bray Wyatt. But, I think only because of his stockiness, but... Crash Jackson here in Dayton, Ohio with Rockstar Pro. He is another guy that's underrated, in my opinion. He can go. He has power. He has hunger for this business. And he tears it up no matter where he is, no matter where you put him on the card. He's going to make you remember his name. And every promoter that I've talked to that has used him has been willing to bring him back, as long with guys like Lord Crew and a few others here at Rockstar Pro. So, you know, a lot of people have a lot of negative things to say about indie wrestling. And, you know, there are some things about indie wrestling as a whole, you know, just certain things we have to deal with. You know, it's like anything else. You get a bunch of family members together, you know, you have some drama that happens. But I am in full support of the positivity worldwide that's happening with indie wrestling. I feel like there's a lot of good that definitely outweighs the bad. You know, at this time, it's just about capitalizing on that. And I feel like this pandemic has been a blessing in a lot of ways. You know, it's allowed us to reevaluate what we're doing in this sport. It allows us to refocus ourselves, and it allows those that kind of slacked off a little bit to regain that hunger and make them realize why they fell in love with the sport of professional wrestling. So I truly believe in. Right now, I'm just talking to Ohio because it feels like Ohio is the state that's moving the slowest. But I believe overall, once pro wrestling is back to normal as a whole, even on the national TV side of things, we're going to be way better, way stronger than before this pandemic hit.
Absolutely.
No, I fully agree. And I do find it funny that every person you've mentioned has come across our show.
At least once or twice.
Hey, you guys got good tickets, so I guess I'm in good hands.
Yeah, we had Lee Moriarty, we had the main event, we had Crash Jackson, all like recently too. Like just recently, we had Crash Jackson on. We do have to have him back on, though.
Yeah, we do.
But we have to have a lot of people back on.
Yeah,
by the way,
yeah, I would say if you guys have, and this guy is not only a Pittsburgh veteran but a tri-state veteran, Matt Connard.
Matt Connor. He's from the Pittsburgh area. His former name was the Reaper Matt Connor. And to just give a little bit, because, you know, we keep it a shoot on here, brother. Matt, actually, he's been in the game for well over a decade. Tremendous athlete. Has worked with guys such as Gory, has worked with companies such as Remix Pro, has done matches with the Young Bucks, etc. And he just recently lost his name due to a gentleman, and a lot of people could probably put this together, but a gentleman that's with AEW right now. I have no heat with AEW, but a gentleman that's with AEW, Ty Dillinger, or whatever he goes by now, that trademarked the name The Reaper. Although this gentleman has had it for many, many years, well over a decade, he had to relieve that name and no longer use that name, which has been his identity for well over about 11 or 12 years.
I find that surprising because, like, there was the, when the FTR came in, they went by The Revolt, and there was a tag team out of North Carolina that actually went after, well, what we formerly know as The Revival. They went after him because they're like, look, we've been going by The Revolt for 10 years. Like, you can't take that. And so I find it surprising that he came after him and he lost that battle because they can't go by The Revolt because of it, because the team in North Carolina has been going by The Revolt for so long. So, I mean, I might challenge that. If he's got some gear, if he has some merch and stuff like that, he might be able to.
You know what? He does, and, you know, it's been something that's been going very, very smoothly right now. You know, he's been on multiple podcasts just kind of talking about his struggle with that. You know, he's still staying positive. But, you know, when it's part of your identity, you know, you do take that personally, especially when you've been doing it for many, many, many years and you're a well-respected individual. So, you know, he's been a guy that I've stepped into the ring with multiple times. That's a pro wrestling match in heaven. You had a guy called The Reaper, Matt Connor, that was all about death. You had the Reverend Hunt. It was multiple times were matches made in heaven. And, you know, right now, you know, he's just, you know, reinventing himself, not changing himself, but reinventing. But, you know, it's still a bitter taste in the mouth. And, you know, he has all the respect and support from any wrestler and any company that has been able to work with him. But yeah, he's definitely a guy. If you guys haven't talked to him anytime before, you can find him on all social media, Matt Connor. I'll even shoot you a message. He has things on our pro wrestling tees as well. One t-shirt is called F Your Trademark. A little jab at Ty.
I love it.
I love it. But, you know, it's one of those things to where, you know, we're all in this to support each other. You know, wrestling all over the place, we're a fraternal brother and sisterhood, and we look out for each other. So when a brother feels hurt, you know, the whole family of pro wrestling that knows that person feels hurt, and that's where our person stand right now.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. Just with, like we mentioned, with the whole Revival thing, like, someone comes in and they're trying to reinvent themselves, and, oh, well, I'm going to take this idea. And I granted, he probably saw it on Independence, and, oh, that's
oh,
a great gimmick.
Oh, believe it or not, I'm pretty sure if I have my ducks lined up correctly, years ago, they may have worked the show together.
No shit.
Maybe not against each other, but I believe they were on the same show before, within prior years, which Matt was going by the Reaper at that point.
That would be like someone like coming out on AEW, or I know we're kind of taking some shots at AEW here, but like that'd be like someone coming out like, oh, I'm the ref. Okay, yeah. Cool. I've also been the ref since 2000, yeah. Whatever. Like, yeah, we're going to have a problem here. Oh, I already trademarked it. It's like, shit. It's like, what am I going to do now? Now you could just go by, well, you can't go by the Reverend because that was Devon.
Yeah, although, you know, Devon and I have had our fair share of talks. Well, not in a bad way, but, you know, we had Devon at a company that is one of my home companies in Pittsburgh, RWA. And, you know, we put some people through a table. You know, I think something that the fans wanted to see. So Devon and I are on good terms. He might let me use the Reverend if someone steals the Rev.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know then. But we don't want to take too much of your time. I know you got to get back to Fight Club and your White Claws. So if you do want to follow along, you can find him all across social media. He's tagged in all of our posts. You can find him on YouTube and many other platforms as well. I know you started, and correct me if I'm wrong, was it a TikTok or something? Why
yeah,
am I blanking?
Surprisingly, the TikTok is one of my strongest platforms right now. So just like everything else, you can just type in the Rev Ron Hunt. Right now, my TikTok is at about 55.4 thousand followers. I have
roughly about 669,200 likes. I actually had to open up the app while I was talking, so it might be up even before this is posted. But yeah, man, you know, I got a combination of some wrestling stuff on there. I have some funny stuff. You see a little bit more of my personality and what happens when I drink too much Bang Energy drinks. And it's a blast, man. And, you know, I'm trying to stay up with the young bucks with the technology.
Okay, I do have to ask, favorite flavor of Bang Energy?
Woo! Okay, listen, man, I love them all, but the one that I just had not too long ago, it's a new one. Let me see. Like when I tell you it is new, it is absolutely new. They just came out not too long ago. It is called, I'm actually looking at the can right now, Radical Skedaddle.
I've actually had that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you said you have had it.
Yeah, I have, and I like that. I like Pina Colada that just came out too.
Pina Colada is very, very smooth. They have I'm trying to get them to pay me. I have some Bang Energy TikToks too, but you know, I think all of them are pretty good. You know, the Pina Colada is definitely a favorite. The Apple Crisp is a smooth.
That's really good. Yeah.
Taste. And then you know, you have your traditionals. You have like your Bangster Berries. You have your Rainbow Unicorns.
I like the Rainbow Unicorn too.
Yeah.
What the hell are these names?
Hey,
they're amazing.
Hey, listen, he's probably thinking, are you guys drinking acid?
Yes. We are drinking acid.
It's crack in the can.
It really is. It's like it's very equivalent to like the zero sugar monsters. Ooh. But there's so many more flavors and different varieties. They literally came out with they have like a new flavor like almost like every other week. And they have the most unusual names, like from someone that was making fun of me of White Claw. Now he's saying like, oh, I drink Rainbow Unicorn. Like, not really helping his argument.
Oh, I knew that was going to be a dick sooner or later.
Dude, I love Rainbow Unicorn. Don't get me wrong. Like, I actually had one earlier this morning. I went for Rainbow Unicorn because they were out of Pina Colada.
I was really hoping your wife was going to walk down the stairs and have no idea what you were talking about.
No, she knows because she picks up the cans all the time.
Rainbow Unicorn is going to be like a State Farm commercial.
Oh, no. She's seen the can a million times. She's like, sends it to me. She's like, another fucking Bang Energy drink? It's like, yes. I need it. I need my energy. She's like, you have a Keurig at your desk at work. You're fine.
Listen, when I don't have a Bang, I feel like Dave Chappelle when he was playing Tyrone Biggums. Like, I just start scratching my neck. My mouth gets all dry. And then I'm like, I need my Bang. You know, that's how I've been. I really feel like it's probably crack in a can. I gotta drop this by the FDA.
Okay, if I have to make a video of me chugging a White Claw, you have to come out tonight. Well, no, I'll give you a few days. I need a Tyrone Biggins TikTok of you for Bang Energy, and you need to tag Bang Energy in that commercial on TikTok and see what kind of traction you can get.
You know what? Just for you, I will do that, and I will go the extra limit. Dave Chappelle lives probably about 35 minutes from where I'm at, so I'm gonna try to hunt him down in the near future.
I'm down. Let's do it.
I'm gonna try to hunt him down, but until then, I'll definitely do a time with Big Mr. Bang. You'll get that before the end of this week, and I'll get it posted.
Perfect.
And I'll send it to you.
Well, you guys need to go subscribe on TikTok right now. You also need to subscribe to him all across social media. Also, like him on YouTube as well if you haven't fallen down that rabbit hole. We're not going to take you away from training any longer. Ladies and gentlemen, the Reverend Ron Hunt. So did you watch NXT TakeOver or no? Or did you just catch the highlights?
I went back. I really only decided to watch the Cole McAfee fight.
I told you that one was the surprising one. There were so many people that came out like all across social media, and like I watched his show earlier this week. I wanted to catch it on Monday when he was going to do like his little review, and I like that he's kind of like staying in character with it. He's not like breaking it down. He's kind of playing into it a little bit more. Like, let's be honest, like we know it's a work, but either way, like he was kind of like fixing into it, and he was like even saying too, like there were so many people that were like, oh, this guy shouldn't be in a ring, like he's
have
not.
Have you not seen his videos even from like when he got hired by WWE, when he went down to the Performance Center, he was just kind of dicking around in the ring.
Yeah.
He is fucking athletic.
Oh, yeah. That whole spot, like I told, I told you on Saturday, I'm like, dude, you have to watch this spot. And thank God, because, like, I know I mentioned it previously, like, my job this past Saturday, I've been dreading it for, like, six fucking months. It's like the one, if they weren't paying me as much as they were.
Oh, was this the one who kept emailing you at like 3 a.m.?
Oh, yeah. Like nonstop.
Oh, you're finally past that one.
Oh, yeah. I'm finally done with it.
All right.
Finally fucking done. But here's the kicker. I was working their wedding. The wedding was scheduled until 11. Guess what time I stopped?
12:30.
No. Think earlier. Yeah.
Wow.
I got kicked. Like, I got told to cut it off at 9:14.
Why?
Because it was a dry wedding, first and foremost.
Oh, that. Yep. I see.
Dry wedding. Yep. Older crowd. They were all tired. Got all the, like, good music, like, out of the way early. The bride and groom did, like, their little, like, getaway, like, goodbye, like, with everyone, like, still there. And when I mean everyone, I mean, like, 26 people. Like, it was boring. I was sitting down the whole time. I was watching NXT TakeOver. I was like, this is better off this way.
Nice.
They were requesting stupid songs, like, no one was going to dance to, but granted, they wanted to hear, so whatever. And at like 9:10, they were like, hey, like, just make this the last song. We're going to call it a night. I'm like, perfect. I'm like, I get to go home, like, hang out. Like, I can watch NXT TakeOver. So I finally got home, like, turned it on, watched the McAfee match, and was blown away. The spot I was even telling you about where he pushes him off the top rope, does the backflip, and literally leapfrogs onto the top rope again for the superplex. Absolutely outstanding. The fact that he didn't botch that, but huge shout out, by the way. I don't know if you noticed. Huge shout out, Mambo Italiano from IWC, one of the security guards that was breaking up McAfee and Cole.
Oh, no shit.
You didn't notice that? Like, he was right there. He was on camera the whole time.
Okay, so I was maybe starting to make myself dinner while watching the match.
Gotcha.
So I kind of was not paying 100% attention to who the people were that are breaking up the fight.
Oh, yeah. Mambo, right there.
Ah, like, nice.
Breaking them up. So, huge shout out to Mambo Italiano. But the event itself, fantastic. I was a little disappointed in the main event, but after the report came out that early in the match, Karrion Kross got hurt, that made a lot more sense. Went down with the shoulder injury. And then next night, they call up Keith Lee to Monday Night Raw. I feel like that was a little premature. I really do. Well, in my opinion,
it may be premature.
Yeah, it might be premature now, but
It's like everything else. When you had, what was it, Tommaso, Gargano, Alistair, and Ricochet all come up at once?
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you had to kill Tommaso and Gargano because Tommaso got hurt.
Yeah,
and had to go out. So essentially, you put Gargano back, and it's like.
I am loving this angle right now with Aleister and Kevin Owens. I think that's going to be a fantastic feud. Who the hell knows what's going on with Ricochet? They're throwing him in tag teams now. Like, why not just let him go? Just let him go. Like, let him be himself.
Let him be free.
Let him be free. But SummerSlam, I mean, everyone's talked about it. It was good. I actually liked the ending. Not going to lie, I liked how they brought back Roman Reigns.
I don't think it's that they brought him back. It's that he said, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready now. But I thought it was cool how they brought him back is what I meant.
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to fight for this title.
Yeah. Like,
But when shit hit the fan,
yeah,
I'm coming back for what's mine.
Yeah. Like, I want it. Like, give it to me now. And like,
and he's already fighting for it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we just had a pay-per-view. Yeah. We're already turning it around.
Yeah, let's build up for another one because this makes absolute sense. Like, and it's only going to be a matter of time before more matches are announced. But I liked SummerSlam. It wasn't too bad. The party that we had was more entertaining than the actual event. I mean, that the party in itself, shout out to Marks with Mikes, JT over there coming over, and then our friends Casey and Sauce as well hanging out. Sauce. So that was a great time. If you've never been to one of our parties, everyone is welcome. So if you want to swing on by,
until your wife says, who the fuck are these people?
I don't know. They listen to our show, so kudos to them. They might want to kill me. I don't know.
Yeah, now that they know
might not be fans.
Now that they know where you live, you're dead.
Yeah, I'm probably dead. But I everybody's welcome. I got plenty of food. I got plenty of booze. So come on by. So anybody that wants to shoot me a DM and be like, hey, I want to come to the next party, you're more than welcome. Come on by.
But please give us your social security number so we can run a background check.
There's going to be a background check across the board. So Otherwise, huge congratulations going out to former guest Hakeem Zayn, also Rohit off of Impact Wrestling, the new Impact X Division champion. Won it night one last week, so huge shout out to him. Fantastic match, too. It pains me to say, fantastic match between the Good Brothers and Ace Austin and Madman Fulton. That was a fantastic match, so huge shout out to them. But, I mean, at this point, let's just get into the bulk of this, and pun intended, let's talk what is coming up this weekend. We have IWC feature presentation. IWC! Let's hope to God, once again, knock on wood, the rain holds
everyone
out.
Everyone do your anti-rain dance.
Anti-rain dance, whatever you got to do. Whoever you pray to, God, Jesus, Jobu, I don't care. Whatever you can do to keep the rain away.
Jobu just helps you hit curveball.
He doesn't help you hit curveball. Fuck you, Jobu. I do it myself. Come on. Yeah, you watch that before every opening night. Before every opening day, that is. I shouldn't say opening night.
He says, if you know help me, then I say fuck you, Jobu. But Jobu help him, and he hit home run. All right, first match, the Wrestling Academy Showcase. Tito Oreck versus Alexander Apollo.
I have Tito Oreck. He had an impressive debut, and I think having him with Moses is definitely a plus. So I'm taking Tito all the way. Who you got?
I'm just interested to watch them go.
Okay.
Just see the new guys come up, see what they got. They've had
some great debuts since then. You got Zach Nystrom, you got Spencer Slade, you got
exactly. Let's see the new.
You got Xander.
Let's see the new crop coming through.
Yep. Let's see the next big stars coming out. So all right, let's get them.
Tag team match, Morale versus the main event.
I got the main event.
I will never go against the main event.
I'm the same way. Sorry, Morale. Apologize.
I guess it depends on who they're fighting, but 9 times out of 10, I'm not going against the main event.
Okay, I'm with you.
Women's title match, Rey Lynn versus
Dynamo. I have Rey Lynn.
Yeah, I probably got to go with you on that one.
Okay. Next match.
Tag team tables match.
Ooh, I got the culmination.
Culmination versus Hardcore Hammer Time?
Yep, I got the culmination.
Hardcore Hammer Time. I'm gonna lean Hardcore Hammer Time.
Okay. I like that. We have a disagreement here, so that's going to be fun. It's about time.
Super indie title match.
Ooh.
Johnny Patch versus Spencer Slade.
I unfortunately will never go against Johnny Patch, so I got to go Johnny Patch on this one. I'm happy with any result, but Spencer Slade's been talking some shit. So at this point, it's getting personal.
But Spencer Slade also has the, you know, he's got the chops to back it up.
He does. He absolutely does.
I'm going to say this. I do love Johnny Patch. He is a great man. He is.
Great fan of the show.
I think he's due.
We got disagreement number two.
It may be Spencer's day.
All right.
But then again, you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
I feel like there's something in the pit of my stomach that I feel something's going to happen.
Yeah. I think you and I have that same pit, too.
I don't want to call it
no.
What I think it is.
Yeah. You don't want to jinx yourself.
No. No. We'll move on.
Okay.
High stakes title match, RC Dupree versus Chase Gold.
RC.
RC hands down.
Yes.
Sorry, Chase Gold.
RC
just got it back, I think.
And his promos are absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
So good.
I just don't think it's Chase's
You
day.
Smell good, but RC.
I don't think it's Chase's time yet. Not quite yet.
No.
Fatal Four-Way, Angelic, Miles Monroe, Facade, and Anthony Young.
I like this one. I'm excited to see this one. I even mentioned it last week. I think this is going to be the dark horse. I think this is going to be the turn of the heads. But in this one, I'm going to go with the underdog here, I guess you could say. The newbie. I'm going to go with Anthony Young.
I had a feeling in my gut that I'm going with you on that one.
There's a reason why they threw him in the main event at the last event. They have a lot of stock in him, and I think he's got something to prove. I think walking into the ring with all of those essential veterans of the industry, I think that he has a absolute chip on his shoulder. He needs to prove himself. So I think he's going to be the one to be on the lookout for, but I feel like Anthony Young's the one coming out of there.
Yeah. Regulators versus Bill Collier, Andrew Palace, Jason Tyler, and Cole Carter.
I am going with the regulars. Mount up, bro. Jock all the way.
Yeah, Andrew Palace has been scuffling a little bit here of late.
Yeah, he's yeah, but I
there's a stranger in my house. That's all I'm gonna say.
Ronnie Millsap, I love it.
Now for what I believe should at least be a co-main event.
Okay.
IWC tag team title match.
Ooh, I think this should be the main event. Main event.
That's why I said at least co-main event.
Okay, I'll give you
Steak
that.
Steak and Eggs versus Team Big League.
I think it's going to be a fun one. No disrespect whatsoever. You know, I'm 50-50 on this, but there is one little thing that's got me swaying because both teams undefeated, but the main goal that Team Big League is going to do is they're going to keep Bulk out of the match. That's the one key to victory that they have. Keep Bulk out of the match, and the key to victory that Steak and Eggs has is friendship. They're 9-0, Team Big League 5-0, but 5-0 has of Team Big League has been a little bit more dominant. You look at who they've beaten, who they've taken out. At the last event, they took out the main event, and Steak and Eggs was just hanging out. So you got a fresh Team Big League that just came off of a huge victory. Their enthusiasm, but more importantly, their overall game is stocked high. So I got to go Team Big League on this one. I think we're going to see some new IWC tag team champions. I'm seeing Team Big League.
There's another thing that I think could happen here, and okay. I fully agree. That's where I think Team Big League wins.
Okay, you seeing a new member?
I do.
Okay, but who? Are you thinking it's Xander?
No,
it's not going to be Bulk.
It is.
Okay. Okay.
I love you, Bulk.
So someone's had a little bit too much Crown Apple, but
no, okay.
You just have a feeling that it's going to be Bulk?
Yes.
Then let me ask you a question. Let's play Catch 22. It's Team Big League.
Yeah.
Johnny is in charge. John McChesney's in charge. You think that Bulk is going to take orders?
You need a big muscle man.
You need a big muscle man, but you can have a big muscle man without having to take orders from somebody. Bulk does not take orders from anyone. It's not going to be...
I never said this is going to... That this is going to be a thing that sticks long term. I didn't say that this may even, you know, work at all. Like,
okay, I don't see it happening.
I fully agree from our conversation previously.
Okay, I get it. Got it.
That I think of how long he didn't want to be with Xander. Think about. You look at a lot of like some of his social media posts of late.
Okay.
There's something in my gut that says somehow between those two of Team Big League that, and probably with some discussions with John McChesney that I think they can somehow tap back into Bulk, or that they're gonna figure out how to.
I agree with you, but I don't see him going in the direction of Team Big League. I see him going in the direction of Bulk Nasty, just wanting to be Bulk Nasty. I will give you that. I don't see him teaming up with Team Big League.
Maybe that could be the other thing where I'm going to tell you how I see it, how okay. I see this match ending.
Okay.
That it's going to get to a point where, you know, Steak and Eggs is looking to win. Bulk's essentially going to turn on Xander. Somehow Big League will get the pin. And it's either he walks with Team Big League, or it'll be one of those of, yes, he costs them the tag team champion, you know, tag team titles, but then he beats the crap out of the other two, and then, yes, walks off by himself, Bulk doing Bulk.
Well, we'll have to see what happens, but main event now.
Main event.
Jimmy Vegas versus Jack Pollock. Who you got?
Redemption, thy name is Pollock.
I would have to agree with you. I think it's Pollock's time, and then that sparks the feud between Jack Pollock and Jock Sampson. So that is our review. but we are interested to hear your takes.
Or
what do you got? Or do you see a button getting pushed?
Not in this match.
Okay. Do you see it during the IWC Super Indie Championship?
Yes, I do.
I do not, and I'm going to tell you exactly why.
It may not be this event.
I see.
I still think he's going after the Super Indie. I could be wrong. I don't see Atticus, going for the heavyweight. I just don't. There's just something with me where maybe I just don't see it. But
you don't look at him as like the face of IWC? Is that what it is? Say it. Let it out.
I don't.
Okay.
But then again, at the same time, the only way I see it.
Okay.
Culmination has to win the tag titles.
Okay.
And then they help it. Then he hits the reset. They help him win that. And then they start running roughshod over the whole.
I'm all for it, though. I'm all for that. Especially with Otis back, I'm all for it. Run IWC culmination. Yeah. I'm all for it.
But
here's my question.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
I got another side tangent, but you
can. Okay. We'll get to your side tangent here in a second because I'm going to go on mine. Where the hell is Jackson Argos? Dude. Another event, no Jackson Argos. Another event, no Jackson Argos.
Maybe we need to call Jackson Argos.
I think we do. Jackson, I'm calling for you right now. You know my number. You know how to find us on social media. Reach out to us. What is going on? We need Jackson Argos. Hashtag we want Argos. We want Argos. Oh my god. Anything else you want to talk about, or do you just want to turn it into karaoke
The one thing that could also happen with where it goes back to the tag team title match where if Bulk decides where Bulk does Bulk. Let's say Bulk walks, Bulk does Bulk, gets himself away from the tag titles.
Yep.
And Jimmy Vegas wins.
Okay.
What if he comes out to celebrate and then just pummels the crap out of him? And that's the next heavyweight title, title direction.
I like it.
I could see it going that way. I could see it going like, Pollock and Samson again. Like going that direction.
I think if anyone's owed, it's Samson.
Oh, absolutely.
Jock is owed a rematch. I completely feel that he is entitled to a rematch.
Oh yeah.
So only time will tell. We got Super Indie right around the corner too, and that will definitely be something we'll touch on after this weekend. And obviously there's going to be a lot at stake this weekend. And there's only been, unfortunately, there's been a few guests. I shouldn't say guests, but there's been a few individuals that were announced for Super Indie. If they're still involved, it is a completely different story. They announced Danhausen, but Danhausen isn't on any of the marketing material. And due to COVID, who knows if he can even make it at this point.
True.
So we'll see who is going to be involved in Super Indie. I'm sure this weekend will answer a large majority of those questions.
That's true.
So let's knock on wood there. But at this point, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Obviously, if you haven't followed our guest, be sure to follow him all across social media. Find him on YouTube. Find him all across all of his social media tags. He is tagged in all of our posts. Be sure to follow along with us. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already done so. Drop a rating as well. Head on over to whatamaneuver.net. Search Dark Match Podcast. Get one of our shirts so you can support the Nitro DMP. Beautiful shirt. Gorgeous. You'll see it this weekend at IWC feature presentation worn by yours truly. And maybe some of our friends over at another podcast. Who knows? We'll have to see what they're going to be rocking this weekend. But that's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend, everybody. And please, for the love of God, no rain in Pittsburgh.